Welcome back to Tabloid Tarot. I'm Ruben.
Tuesday.
And we're here again. We're going to do another, in case you missed it, as it's been a week. Started off with some screenshots. So, for me, on my screenshots, first one, Michael B. Jordan and Steve Harvey's daughter, Lori, are now in a romance. According to the Celebrity Gig magazine, the sexiest man alive, Michael B. Jordan and Lori Harvey have made their relationship official. They got some pictures of them together that they each put up on their social media platforms to make it official. And so people were kind of flipping out all over social media about that for a little bit in the earlier of last week.
I mean, I get it. Cause I was just thinking the other day because we were discussing Fantastic Four. I was like, what the fuck is Michael B. Jordan doing, though? Like,
working it.
Yeah. Getting it. Hopefully safely.
Trying to have some kids with thick mustaches.
Little baby boys pop out, full grown mustache.
Uh huh. You know them Harveys are going to come out.
Teeth.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the whitest teeth.
Yeah. They already got teeth.
Thickest mustache. next screenshot. Kevin Feige confirms that T'Challa will not appear in Black Panther 2. They're not going to recast or CGI. This falls into the digital necromancy that I like to discuss. So they are choosing not to do that, which I think is a good decision.
Yeah, I'm really happy about it because, of course, like, you're going to have to acknowledge the death and stuff, but that doesn't mean it has to be the focus, and that doesn't mean you have to show it or, you know, like, any of that. Like, I say just open with, like, a brief little funeral, and then, bam, launch into whatever your movie's going to be.
All right. Don't hit us like, what is it, Star Trek V, the one with the whales, where they're, like, going through a museum in Wakanda, and they're like, and here you'll see, you look over at, like, a little screen, and it's like, the death of Black Panther, and it's just him getting, like, mangled.
Oh, like, my God, no, right, on some, like, security footage or something. Yeah, that they just got on loop. Yeah, thank God they're not going to do that. Like,
yeah, it's just...
I mean, I don't know, spoilers for The Mandalorian, if you're watching.
Yeah.
I thought that the Luke Skywalker was completely unacceptable. Like, it was creepy and wrong. And he's alive. Then the technology at least needs to get better if we're going to do that kind of, like, someone is wearing a green mask.
Yeah, if a guy's got a bag on his head, the least you could do is get it right. That looked kind of creepy.
Yeah, like, check out the YouTube, maybe I can send you the link, but the deep fake that someone did of it was a lot better. Like, just the talking and stuff was really weird, and, like, I don't know, it seemed like a robot.
Yeah, the mouth motions and the eyes, it had some serious uncanny valley looks to it with the Luke. So, yeah, sometimes you just kind of let it lie where it is and explore the rest of the world. And that's supposedly supposed to be the key. They're still on the hunt for a new James Bond.
Cool.
Yeah. It's looking like their current people they're talking is Tom Hardy, James Norton, Idris Elba. You know, they're still the people that people are talking. People are also now talking about the dude from Bridgerton. Would be also apparently a good pick. Is that people are rooting for. I mean, I'm down with a young Bond, or one that can put out three or four movies, if that's what they're going to try and do again.
These days, especially, and with how long in between movies, because people want to do other projects and stuff like that, pick somebody probably, like, 10 years younger than you want. That way you can really, like, just be able to have those movies at a time. Like, they can do three or four movies without them just, like, completely collapsing into looking like, I don't believe this guy can do it anymore, you know? So, yeah, like, why not cast someone 25? It's beginning Bond, but, like, he's semi-seasoned by the time he finishes his run. Like, you probably get, like, 5 or 6 movies out of that one if you did it all right.
Yeah, you just got to play your cards right, play your story right.
And you lock them in like Marvel with those contracts. And says you will do 6 James Bond movies.
Gonna do 6 movies. We got you.
Oh my God, that's Sebastian Stan. When are you going to be free? Like,
then he ended up playing James Bond for some reason. To, like,
put on a British accent. I would love an American to break all rules to get James Bond. Like, obviously, they would need to have a good accent.
It would be a great... You have an American be James Bond who dies at the end of the movie. And they're like, well, we tried. They're just too damn reckless, those Americans. Blew the whole building up.
I just have it like a red herring, where it's like, you thought that's who the new Bond was going to be, but like at the end, whoever like shows up for like 5 seconds, that's going to be the new Bond.
Right, that's the actual James Bond.
I mean, I'm still waiting for Lady Bond, but...
Lady Bond.
No, it's like we did another agent. Didn't they do that Lady Bond? A woman, but like...
It didn't feel like a movie about Lady, like an actual female-driven James Bond movie.
I mean, to do that, you would have to completely flip everything, pretty much, I think.
You'd have to bring in a team that actually knew what they were doing.
Because, I mean, James Bond, they are what they are. They're male-driven movies with a male voice and everything. Like, otherwise they wouldn't have the things that they have.
Yeah.
Always having a Bond girl and da-da-da. I always like the Daniel Craig ones. I haven't finished them, but that I've seen, and that it, like, brings more emotion.
So you just keep the Bond girl. Just turn it into a full-on LGBT movie. James Bond is you know, a woman still into the Bond girls.
Yeah, do all the same formula.
Pretty much same formula.
Kristen Stewart is oh, yeah. James Bond. Oh my god, I'd watch the
quietest shit out of that. James Bond.
I wouldn't even care if she had a British accent. I would watch it.
Couldn't hear her if she did. She's so quiet.
Excuse me, what did you say? Oh. Bam! She just punches him in the face. It could work, y'all. Think about it.
Speaking of, apparently Barbie now has a girlfriend. Explains why we haven't been seeing Ken. So that's why she's got so many houses that Ken doesn't seem to be at.
For reals, how did Barbie get a girlfriend before me also?
Yeah, screenshot is from at Kaluto, K-A-L-L-U-T-O. Yeah, they put, how Barbie get a girlfriend before me. This is so, I'm so jealous but happy for my girl. Yeah, it's like what? Yeah. Chuck Norris is a terrible person. That's just an aside. Mm-hmm. In case you guys forgot.
See, my problem was I didn't forget. I had never known. Yeah. You know, I stay in the dark about Chuck Norris because I grew up with Chuck Norris movies, and they hurt me deeply because he, in Walker, Texas Ranger, because he is a horrible actor. He may have had great martial skills at some point.
Yes.
But he can't act out of the bag.
He just sucked the bullets out of that black man's gun. It was crazy. His gun never ran out, and that man was always reloading. It was just the craziest thing.
Right? I really... I hate to say it, too, because, once again, grew up on Walker, Texas Ranger. I loved his partner. His partner was cool. Like, he's a good
best
guy.
Best part about the show.
Yeah, pretty much.
So, there's a guy that looked eerily like Chuck Norris at the attack on the Capitol.
He's a bit younger than him, yeah.
Right?
But
people were like, that's Chuck Norris.
But if you hadn't seen Chuck Norris in a while and stuff to realize how old he's gotten.
And they now looks like a bee attack. And you can't karate your way out of the
like
bees.
In 70s, I think like mid-70s now. Yeah. It's getting up there.
Do some cool art.
Ooh.
Yeah. Next screenshot from J. Todd's. J-A-E-T-O-D-D-S. I close Twitter for 3 hours and come back to Azalea Banks cooking her dead cat.
Like, I'm so old, I don't even know who these people are. It's like, yeah, look it up. I believe she's a singer, but that's like all I think I know.
Excuse us while while we sit on our plastic-covered couch.
29-year-old rapper.
Oh, snap. Yeah. So she's got beef with a lot of folks. She made her political views known, and a lot of folks didn't like that, because she supported Trump. That's, like, man, do what you will. It's your choices, your politics.
Yeah.
But she has not been doing well.
Yeah.
Cool. That cat altar is not great. But she apparently was moving, and so dug up her cat. In a very it begs what is happening in her life. She needs a little bit of help right now. So, prayers up for her if you do that. Sage down and around if that's what you're up to. Yeah, but, I mean, like, she needs a little bit of help.
I understand losing a pet. It's tough, especially one that's been with you for a while, but...
I think she's losing her mind.
Well, also on top of the fact, like, if you didn't do it correctly, that's not sanitary.
And, like, she just straight snatched it out the ground. It was not...
Yeah, it was no. Not... You gotta use chemicals to treat the bone and, like...
Yeah. Quick meme. Yeah. I'll be posting up some of these pictures of people's
reactions.
But yeah, this one I did so that I could get the name of the person that had it. But she just straight snatched it up out the ground. Like, there's like a whole video of being like, gotcha! And just snatched it up.
You're gonna do stuff like this, wear gloves, be safe about anything.
From cum trails. Azalea has been transphobic, homophobic, fat-shamed Lana Del Rey, and Doja Cat is a Trump supporter and an anti-masker, anti-vaxxer, and just cooked a cat on her Instagram, and some people still support her.
There's always going to be those people.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's people who are out there blockading the street so that they can't get in and out of the place where R. Kelly is being held. Y'all remember that? Where R. Kelly got punched in the face by some dude that was like, I want to be able to see... my visitors, and he, like, attacked him in his cell. Yeah, R. Kelly's still in jail, despite how much people like her, or like him. I don't even remember if we talked about how Bruce Willis refused to leave a pharmacy after not wanting to wear a mask, speaking of anti-masking.
No, we...
Did we cover that?
We covered the pajama...
Pajama Jammy Jam?
Pajama Gate 2.
The Bruce Willis, Demi Moore... Pajama Jammy Jam? Yeah, so Bruce Willis apparently walked up into a pharmacy, and with, as you can see in this photo, and you guys can look at, I mean, we're going to be posting it, you can find it, this is via the New York Post, he's got what looks to be a crappy bandana around his neck, which isn't even that great, does not do much, but it's better than nothing, could you at least try, and that's all they were asking him to do, could you at least try for a moment, do you mind putting that over your face for half a tick, and he was like, no.
Dude, it looks like they have, like, a mannequin or a wax statue for someone standing up in their store.
This looks like,
that
yes.
That shot.
This looks like... this looks like they got a wax statuette of Bruce Willis. A bad one. Like, ooh, could y'all...
Yeah, I was like, is that really Bruce Willis? Who did that? Like, yes, it is.
Wait, I mean, what movie is this from?
Older and, like, more dried up, I guess.
I'm not working on a movie right now. Oh, shit, that is Bruce Willis. It's the real one. I thought it was wax.
Thought you were a displacer.
How moist and expressionless you seemed. I thought you were a wax statue. I'm so sorry.
I hope to be that moist one day.
Yeah. So hopefully I've lathered myself in lotions and unguents and elixirs to survive, so much so that I feel I don't need to cover my face with a mask when there's a plague. I don't need to, because technically I'm wearing a mask of lotion.
Okay, your personalist voice is like a Steven Seagal.
Yeah, they're the same guy. It's just one of them stayed in better shape.
Right. I mean, that at least. He has not become like a blob.
He didn't turn into, you know, some Gotham Award best documentary winners. 1,000 Cuts and The Time. Those looked interesting movies to check out, guys. So speaking of interesting movies, we got Nicole Kidman and Javier Bardem are gonna be playing Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz in a biopic. I'm guessing it's a Lucia Ball biopic.
Yeah, probably.
Neither of them.
Like, I mean, obviously Nicole works as a redhead, but neither of them look like those people.
I hope they can embody it.
Yeah, like, I mean, also, like, they're going to have to put on those accents and everything. Because, like, Lucy has a very distinct voice, Ricky has a very distinct voice.
Yeah, you got to... You're going to have to embody those characters to make me believe it's you, that you are, yeah. In somberer news, Mick Foley has come down with COVID. He says he's fatigued, but seeming okay, and hoping people will take the pandemic seriously, because the death count is staggering and climbing. And he's not wrong. Take it seriously, guys. Try and be safe.
Yeah, I hope he's gonna
be okay. Don't get explodey out there.
Because, oh.
So, my favorite. Last week, Jason Derulo. You know what I mean? Guy fell down the stairs at the Met Gala. I don't know if you remember. Seen any of those memes?
No.
Singer. So, people hacked into his Twitter and took over it, and they, of course, were giant racists. And they just took, they were just cracking as many racist slurs off as they could until the account got taken back over.
Good lord.
Normal things that happen when people hack in. And it's like a 12-year-old who somehow got a hold of your password, it seems.
Is it normal? Like, back in the day, I feel like 12-year-olds would be like, I eat buttholes, and just be, posting dumb stuff like that on a hacked account. Not horrible, aggressive, racist attacks. And
Yeah. So, next one. Still in screenshots, guys, because like I said, in case you missed it. Army Hammer. You probably didn't miss the Army Hammer shit, because it has been all over. It's going to be covered for a bit now. This shit is crazy talks. So, he says it's bullshit, and that he's going to stay home to protect his four children, his many children. I don't know how many children he has. He's got many of them to protect them, because he can't go to the Dominican Republic to shoot a movie with J-Lo. But,
I'm kind of happy about that, because, maybe someone else will be in that J-Lo movie, and then I'll watch it.
But it's looking like they kept their pictures, and a lot of other people kept their pictures, and other people have been coming out about it, about Army Hammer, supposedly being aggressive for a while now, and so it's looking like this isn't going to just roll off his back, like he's open. The screenshots of his convos are pretty ridiculous and graphic. You can find them out there, guys. We're rather explicit, but you know what I mean? The normal shit that's horrible. But mostly it seems to be about causing pain and all that. But a lot of his seems to be about the fact that consent is dubious or non. And as if you've listened to any of us ramble about any of the stuff we talk about, non-consent is not acceptable, especially dubious consent, which to me is non-consent. And if you don't know what dubious consent is, that's where somebody is feeling pressured into doing it because of who the person is. They normally wouldn't, but, you know what I mean, I guess, and then you're pushed into something. That's pretty dubious. Maybe they weren't really wanting to do that, but they didn't feel they had a better choice. That's this, to me, personally.
Also, maybe they were not fully intoxicated, but slightly intoxicated, and they made a decision they normally wouldn't.
It's also
stuff
dubious.
Like,
yeah. Those are the moments, where you gotta wonder if maybe you're not in the right. Especially when you're talking about breaking bones and or, causing pain to people that they may not be wanting or in the mood for.
Yeah, there's BDSM, there's roleplay, and stuff like that, but all that requires consent, and you shouldn't actually be harming your partner in a way that's hurtful to them. Obviously, they might want some pain or whatever, but I don't think anybody wants the pain of broken bones. And if they do, don't oblige them, because that's not good.
Yeah. And this is from Rolling Stone on the matter, from Empress Wu. It was when she delved further into them that she started to see some red flags. In one message, after the recipient says that having a belt around her neck during sex is too much, Hammer responds, yes. In another, referring to a prior sexual encounter, a woman says, I did truly want to stop for most of the time. That's pretty explicitly a consent violation. Yeah, it's a, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, yeah, and that's pretty, like she says here, that's the core of the issue, is the consent violation. Doesn't matter what the fetish is, that's irrelevant, but when there's a boundary violation, that is something that should always be paid attention to. Yeah, and then they go on to talk about how his exes have started to come forward about inappropriate or non-consensual behavior that he engaged in with them.
Yeah.
So that ain't going away for him. You can check out that Rolling Stone article. It's out there. It's out there. It's a pretty good little one they go into. They actually like try and get some good talk. And then next one, real quick, like, people be trolling and laughing at Kylie Jenner. But I don't know if you saw any of this.
I thought we weren't discussing the...
Oh, is she part of that?
Clan.
All right, yeah. Fine. I won't. But I am going to laugh real quick about her shitty water pressure, because that's mostly what it was. Yeah. Phil Spector's dead. That's about it. Fuck that guy.
Yeah, he was a murderer.
Fuck that guy. He's dead. And
apparently, like, really fucking crazy on top of just, like, the one murderer. Like, probably... messed a lot of other people up.
Yeah. Screwing shit up in the industry for a while, him and his friends probably. And you know who his friends probably were. All them idiots. So, next one. Justin Timberlake and his wife Jessica Biel are gonna name their baby boy Phineas.
Oh, that's a cute name.
Yeah.
This is their second kid now?
I believe so.
Yeah. Good for them. They're a cute couple.
Yeah. And as we get towards the end of the screenshots, we're here at Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas have called it quits. Most people are saying that she left him, and they are saying that it was amicable.
I mean, this is, I think, like about a year-long fling or whatnot.
Yeah.
You did pretty good, Ben. You really held it as long as you could.
Right. Now, the winner of the breakup so far... is Sunflower at Spinubzilla, SPINUBZILLA. Why would you say Ben Affleck and Ana de Armas broke up when you could just say banana split? You win. I've died inside.
It's good though.
And that that is the end of my screenshots for the week.
Well, that's like the opposite of a couple name.
It's a breakup name. Those
things exactly.
What's your breakup name?
Banana split. Please make that a trend. Make more breakup names for couples than together names.
Yeah. You gotta have a breakup name. What's your breakup name? Ruination. Oh, okay. That was a bad one, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was real bad. What she called it? She also calls it that. Okay. It was mutually bad. So, that was screenshots. Now we're on to bookmarks. What you got on the bookmarks?
Okay. First, I have Dustin Diamond from Saved by the Bell. And, I mean, pretty much nothing else.
He was also from Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell for one episode. That's about it.
I'm sorry. He's been diagnosed with cancer. The official statement from his Twitter is, "At this time, we can confirm that Dustin does have cancer. Dustin will disclose more information once it is available and a plan moving forward is made. If you would like to send a card or a letter, you can send it to Insurance King." It lists the address or emails at this. Oh my god, this is really douchey. I haven't read all of it. "We ask at this time no autograph requests be sent to this address, as that isn't what it's for. We ask everyone to respect Dustin's privacy during this difficult time. All positivity and prayers are appreciated." He's got stage 4 cancer, and it's in a Florida hospital. He's going to be doing chemo for at least another week. That's about all the details so far.
Right on. So he's probably, like, laid up with, like, nothing but, like, hopefully, what, getting, like, Dropbox captchas sent to him so he can, like, open up sweet folders full of stuff. I don't know what he's hoping with that. Yeah, money in the mail? He's hoping for grandma cards?
I don't know, that's what's his supposedly his official team's Twitter.
Then who's going to be asking for? What kind? I guess it should be without saying. I mean, Dustin Diamond's done some shit in his life. He's not been the best guy. No one deserves stage 4 cancer. Right? Like, that's just something, that's literally what they say you don't wish on your enemies. Like, so, yeah, who the fuck, what kind of an asshole would be like, yeah, hey, Dustin, could just, when you get the strength, could you sign this and send it back? Fuck you. I signed it, fuck you. DD.
I might be that person.
You've just been given the D. Fuck off.
I hope I do get iced.
I'll
send you one, Dustin. Be okay.
Right, send this man.
How about that autograph?
Send him an autograph.
That'd be instantly shredded, though.
That'd be great. Send him an autograph if you got one.
I'm going to be famous one day, I promise.
No, of him. If you got one of his, send it back to him. You might need to sell it.
These are hard times.
It's hard times. It might be worth more to him than money. You send him a signed, autographed something from back in the day, and he can probably resell that with a new signature on top of the old signature. Like, two double signatures. Now it's double deed. And you can make more money off of it.
Right.
Because that shit's expensive.
My next one was, it's an update to an ongoing thing, but yeah. I don't think we'd...
We talked a little bit about it.
Yeah. But Alec Baldwin is staying in a separate house from his wife and their 5 kids. Supposed to be a rental house, which is only a mile away from his home, so I don't even get the point.
It's still not whatever. There.
Yeah. It's cute little... There's a picture of it. Cute little house.
So he's supposedly quarantining away from them.
Yeah, he's going to New York to do a job, and then he quarantines in his house for a bit.
When he gets home and all that. Yeah,
when he gets back.
Okay, so that at least makes sense. It's not necessarily that bad. But yes, it is allowing him to put some distance between his fake Spanish wife and those poor kids. Those poor white kids.
Yeah, you want me to give them...
That have been raised confused thanks to their not-well mother.
These are the name of their children.
Are their names Ola, Paquito, and, like, Burrito? Leonardo,
Carmen Gabriela, Eduardo, Paul Lucas, Romeo Alejandro, and Rafael Thomas.
And they're all white.
Yes.
She named her kids like you would name your pets, after the things that you like. You know what I mean? Like, a theme. She really likes Spanish theme. She wants to be Spanish, so she named her kids to be Spanish. But they're not Spanish. But they've been raised with this weird pseudo-idea of what being Spanish is, and it's not.
Yeah, like, I always said if I had a kid, I'd probably give it the middle name of Aramis. But I'm also French. I'm legit French. So, like, that at least is there to be, like, legit. Yeah. She's a crazy white lady, and people are calling her on it, and she basically is like, no, but it's your fault. Like, almost like, yeah, somehow trying to turn it on them. Like, I never really said these things. People just, like, twisted it, and I didn't, like, deny it.
I just pretended I didn't know how to say cucumber on TV. Okay.
They, like, made me do that.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, we're good.
But, yeah, so, the whole skin on that is, like, oh, is it really because he's working, or are they over because, like, he's gotten very upset because people, like, asked him about the whole thing. And it's like, yeah, because if anyone knows anything about Alec Baldwin, he's an angry, angry man. And he does not deal well with being confronted. Like, he can't handle it.
Yeah.
So, it's good stuff. Next. Update. Shia LaBeouf and Margaret Qualley have split up following the lawsuit by FKA Twigs.
Mm.
So,
Makes sense.
The whole statement is, they broke up on Saturday. They're just in different places in their lives. And I'm like, thank God, because the girl was like, oh my, and I say girl because I swear to God, she's like,
she's
19
like a,
or something. Okay. Like, she has barely just become a woman. So maybe not. She looks extremely young.
Is she like an 80s high schooler or a 90s high
schooler?
She's
26, but she looks young.
She's an 80s high schooler then.
I guess so.
Like Greece.
And also like compared to him.
And all that. Where like in that time period where all the high schoolers look 30. She's 26,
but he's like, what? How old are you, sir? Yeah, he's 34.
No.
So it's 8 years different. But yeah. Good. I'm glad, like, hopefully someone else escaped abuse, or maybe, maybe just got a taste of it, you know, the start of it, and was like, I'm gone.
So that first red flag and got out of there.
Especially if, like, if you've been in one of those things before, it's a lot easier just to be like, nope, I know where this is going, and just get out of there.
Bear mace them and leave.
Next. So, you'd actually told me this because I hadn't had it in my feed before or whatever, that they're doing a Sex and the City reboot. And I was like, how? Because Sarah Jessica Parker and Kim Cattrall like hate each other. Like, I'd known the ongoing drama like because of stuff that got into my, because I like Kim Cattrall. Yeah, maybe she's a bitch or something. I don't know. I'm more thinking that it's Sarah, so. But obviously in the reboot, she has not been included. And I had this, article, because it showed a trailer, but the teaser trailer is, you want me to show you the trailer?
Yeah, sure.
It's like, it's, I don't know how you could even call it a teaser trailer, really. Yep. It's such bullshit.
Is Treebeard typing?
No, it's Carrie.
Just like that.
And of course it's on HBO Max.
Yeah.
Naturally, but, so they did that trailer, and then someone made an article, which I'll post a link to, of their, like, reactions to it, because I also had reactions, but I enjoyed some of theirs a lot, so,
Vogue article?
Yeah, Vogue article. I'll send the link, but it's, like, 38 thoughts I had while watching the Sex and the City reboot trailer.
Damn, they had 38 thoughts in, like...
Yeah, they had 38, but it's, that, I'm that not going to read all of them
that's
anyway.
That's real fast.
Number two. Now. Literally, where is Samantha? Three. No, seriously. Unless the entire new season is a gritty crime drama investigating Samantha's disappearance, a la Who Bit Amabella, I am not there for it on principle.
So we've been talking about it, too. Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
I'm the same. A lot of people would argue that besides Sarah Jessica Parker, Kim Cattrall is a big part of the show. And for me, too, like, I'm, you know, you can all be like, what character are you or something? I probably am Miranda, whatever. But Samantha's character was always the one that I was most invested and concerned about. Like, she was reckless and a lot of different shit like that, but, like, she was a bad bitch.
So, is there a guy that's just selling newspapers at a stall? Because that's probably the person I am.
Well, you're supposed to, they're all, like, archetypes of women, so you're supposed to, like, one of them is supposed
to be. The lady that's selling newspapers at a stall, so that's probably the one I am.
Well, obviously, they're all doing way fucking better than you. I'm not, like, a lawyer.
You need coffee with that one, hon? Nah, just the paper. And they leave.
Okay, yeah. Number five. Understand that a glittery New York nightlife shot wouldn't work in these times. But why show us the 4-5-6 train? We know that Carrie Bradshaw famously equates taking the subway with wearing candy shoes. Yeah. I was also super confused when they showed the sub. Especially Carrie. They don't take the subway. They take taxis. They take limos. Those bitches don't touch subways. They're not going to subways, not with what they're wearing. Not, like, hell no. So it's like, yeah, why the fuck was that in, like, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Those were, I think, the amusing ones, pretty much. Because there's a lot of thoughts and a lot of whatnots, but, like, oh, someone, like, very, I thought pretty meanly, said that they could have Jane Krakowski play Samantha Jones. Let me show you a picture. She looks nothing like her, of course, but she does comedy. You'll know her when I show you. Can't spell it right now, but it will pop up. Yeah. Just have her recast to Samantha and act like not acknowledge it anything or other people said, or be like, I had a lot of work done, and they're like, yeah, you look like a completely different person.
Yeah.
I was like, oh fuck, like don't take it that far, but like it would be funny. Yeah. That's about it.
Oh.
But like I'm not for it because I'm one of those people that knows when to fucking stop, even in the thing I'm interested in. So whilst it was going, I missed it because it was on HBO and blah, blah, blah. But CBS or some fucking place censored. So I found the real copies. Although I did watch a bit of censored. And I mean, all you're missing out is like occasional titties and stuff like that, which I don't necessarily need. But so I watched the series. It was good, right? And then you're like, oh, yeah, sure. I watched the first movie, maybe warranted, okay, fine, and it was alright. Second movie, no. And reboot, no. I'm good, y'all. I'm done. It's one of those things of, like, why? Like, I say, though, if it really was that Search for Samantha, Sex and the City, the Search for Samantha, that's the one I watched. Make that happen? Yeah, maybe.
Now, could you then make a completely separate movie that was just Samantha alone?
Ooh.
It was okay. Just her on a beach.
James Shamar,
whole or, time like, she's one of just her been former on
love interests from Sex and the City is, like, searching for her because she's gone missing. So they don't need any of the, like, women. They'll just use the men from Sex and the City that'll work with Kim Cattrall.
All of her former dudes are looking for dudes. Her.
Ooh, maybe all of them could be, like...
Yeah, so it's, like, this random whole time she's just on a beach somewhere. Like, well, I went on vacation, what?
She's at the end, at least in the fucking... As far as I got, and she's still with a nice dude. And then the final, this is, like, it's celebrity news because George Lucas is involved. But the San Francisco Art Institute has a huge Diego Rivera mural. It's like installed, like it's like within a wall of their school, but they took out bad loans and stuff. Well, basically, like they just didn't do their finance as well, and now the school is gonna close probably if they don't sell the mural that was put inside of it. And the person that's supposed to be eyeing it is George Lucas. He wants to put it into his museum. I'm not sure how that works. But it is valued at $50 million.
Ooh, that's a very big wall.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a really pretty
mural. But, yeah, if you're making an art museum, that can make a pretty choice piece. But moving it is going to be kind of like, I don't remember when we talked about the Amber Room and, like, having to move a room. It's not easy.
I mean, if anyone has the money, though,
no.
It'd be George Lucas. But yeah, there's some controversy because it's like, I guess because the recent times, they have about half the enrollments that they normally have, and they weren't prepared for that at all. Like, tuition is crazy here. It's $46K for undergrads or $48K for grad students a year. A year.
Take all your money now.
And, like, apparently they've had as much as 700 students before, but they only have about, like, 350 or so now. So, yeah, they're struggling. We'll see what happens with that. If there's any update, I think you're not really supposed to discuss who gets art and blah, blah, blah and stuff. But, of course, you know, it's all part of the gossip world anyway. It's out there. Someone said something that they probably weren't supposed to.
Right, somebody mentioned George Lucas's name when they shouldn't have. On to discussing an actor today. We're talking about Paul Bettany. I'm getting there. So, this is us doing a bit of our, what was it?
First, worst, best.
There we go. We got first, worst, and best.
And we're just focusing on their films because, like, of course, TV or whatnot could be in there as well, but then that makes it kind of complicated.
And if it is TV, it's going to be probably a TV movie to begin with.
Yeah, that's fine.
For me, on Paul Bettany, as for probably a lot of people my age, their first introduction is A Knight's Tale as Chaucer. And there is going to be spoilers here, guys, as there almost always are with us.
A Knight's Tale was my first Paul Bettany movie.
Yours as well?
Yes.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was fun.
Because I was the weirdo that, of course, like, Heath Ledger was still totally cool. And everyone's like, oh, you gotta see this Heath Ledger movie. I was there for Rufus Sewell, the villain. Once again. I'm like, but isn't he attractive too? It's always the struggle. And then, like, Paul Bettany and other people show up and stuff, and they're all weird looking. And I'm still like, but aren't they attractive too? It's a very confusing movie for, like, a child to, like, growing up and everything. It's like, but I don't know, it's such an epic movie. I think maybe, I don't know, I would love to kind of show it to someone that was the right age for it and see the reaction. Because I wonder if it's just, like, our generation and everything that, like, appreciated it and likes it so much because of, like, everything that's in it.
Yeah. Some movies, they just kind of click and it's right for the time. It was fun. The music was good. The casting was done well.
Teenage, like, rom-com, back in the day with the modern soundtrack, like, all this weird stuff that shouldn't really work, yeah. On top of, like, a really diverse cast.
It kind of feels like what that Great Gatsby movie was trying to do.
Oh, yeah.
And I did not enjoy it.
Oh, I saw recently that Carrie Mulligan says she wasn't super happy about her performance in that. I was like, well, it takes a lot to admit something like that.
Speaking of things you're not happy with... What do we got, the worst next, or?
Yeah, I guess we can.
First, worst,
best. I think we discussed, like, each one of them, but, like, I don't know. A Knight's Tale, I still watch to this day.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Knight's Tale is still rewatchable.
It's funny, like.
I wouldn't go so far as to say that his first is his best.
Like, oh, no.
You know what I mean? Like, but some people, it's hard.
And that's just the first thing that I saw him in. A Knight's Tale is not his first movie at all. Like, the one that I'm going to probably say is his best, he did before A Knight's Tale. So,
I mean, like, the first movie you've seen him in is their best movie.
Yeah, sometimes.
Occasionally, your first will be your best, or your first is the worst.
Yeah, there could be some overlap, and we'll also include a bonus feature of favorite, if... Because sometimes that's not included within those three either.
Because best is subjective to us.
For me, I'm trying to go by, like, you know, like, best performance / best movie. Like, their best work that I've seen. What's your worst?
My worst? That one's kind of hard, but... It's almost a tie, but I'd say it's probably Inkheart, Dustfinger. Terrible movie. Brendan Fraser's in it. It's 2008. It's not good times. It's probably, I blanked a lot of it. It's just that bad. Other than that, it may be Legion, which they made that entire TV show with Anthony Stewart Head where he had that crazy accent.
Yeah, it was...
Oh, wow. It was nuts.
It was a choice.
It was a big choice. That I whole TV show, it infected the whole TV show, Anthony Stewart Head's accent on that show. It was nuts. But that's me. For me, it's a hard choice between those two. One of them is an action movie where he's playing an angel. The other is just where it's like, I can't even, don't even worry about it. Just watch. If you're not watching the movie, watch the movie. If you've already seen it, you don't. You're like, yeah, it's pretty bad, guys.
I mean, I don't think either one of us are probably going to be recommending anyone's worst, unless it's just one of those kind of like, you gotta see this, like, trainer wreck or complete pile of shit. For me, and it's been a while, so I did kind of a wipe. I'm halfway through rewatching it, so I'll post my final thoughts on it afterwards. But I put his worst as Wimbledon. I started watching it, like, the setup is, it's like a rom-com, but it's about tennis. He's about to retire, pretty much because he's stopped beating anyone. Kirsten Dunst has just started her career.
Yeah.
She's a bit younger than him and everything. And they meet up and start to have, like, a thing. Sam Neill's there with an American accent. What has been done of it is not great, but his facial stuff and everything has been good. But he's Kirsten Dunst's dad. And, like, it's not terrible so far, what I've been watching. I mean, it is, but it isn't.
You remember it worse than it was?
Like, maybe. Like, first of all, whoever made this movie is, it's like a complete love song to Paul Bettany in every way. To, like, his body, his face, everything. And, like, the way that fucking Kirsten Dunst looks at him, too, she fucking sells it. Like, the whole movie revolves around him. So if, like, you're in love with Paul Bettany and whatnot, especially superficially, so far, there's a lot for you to see. And they have good chemistry, so that's cool. But, like, I think it came out in 2004, so I was 18. And it's just one of those that has, like every single cliche and trope. Like, it starts with he's booked for Wimbledon, the event, because he's going to be in it. His room's 1221. Somehow there's two 1221s. And he pops into one, which has Kirsten Dunst in it, and she's just like, the door's open, first of all. Her bathroom door is open, and she's like in this shower that like covers nothing, just like glass shower, and he like stumbles in, and then he's like, oh, you know, like the typical, oh no, I've seen you in this shower, I'm so flummoxed because I'm a British man. Yeah. And whatnot, and it just has like, it has a lot of that kind of stuff. Like, so far, what it's been leading into is like, because of the passion that Kirsten Dunst has put into him, he's been able to keep winning his matches and stuff. And, like, I guess he just didn't have that before. Like, he's just been, like, the spoiled rich kid that's done tennis, like, all his life, but hasn't been, like, that great. Or he was 11th, or ranked 11th in the world. It keeps being a joke throughout it, because people be like, oh, yeah, I remember him. Wasn't he ranked 19 at one point? And he's like, it's 11th! And he's like, out. And he's like, the outrage! Like, I'm not that great, but damn it, I was 11th at one point. Y'all should know the right point. But, yeah. So he's like, he's told her that he's going to retire and everything. I'm guessing the other half of it is going to be because Sam Neill, the father, is trying to keep him away from her. Is that Kirsten Dunst's game is going to drop while his gets better because of the relationship. And then it's just going to like crash and burn. I have to see, because it's one of those that I just wiped. And like, I think a lot of it is that kind of like nostalgia. When I was like watching, I was like, this is kind of like not as good in any way or something, but like Mean Girls and stuff, where you're like, you're getting the beats and the whatnots and stuff, and you're like, but I don't really hate that, like, all this stuff is like going and stuff per se, because it's working, like, I'm enjoying it enough.
Yeah.
Versus the last the last romantic comedy that I saw, The Love Punch. It's Pierce Brosnan and Emma Thompson. And it's that, like, cliche story of they're divorced and everything, but, you know, like, they're going to wind up getting back together. And it has, like, all the tropes and whatnots. And I was not there for it at all. Like, it was okay in the end. But it was mostly because Emma Thompson plays, like, this kind of more masculine and put together, like, the normal kind of thing. And Pierce Brosnan is more feminine and, like, thrown off and shit. It was, like, one of those switches of at least the nice personalities change. That change was fun, and I really enjoyed, but, like, that was about it out of it.
So, on IMDb, you can find out how much money the movie made when you scroll to the bottom.
Yeah. You get, like, all different kinds of
things. Care to compare your worst to my worst?
I'm sure Wimbledon still made. Like,
Yeah.
I remember, like...
But in the end, we'll see which one, I guess, actually made their money back, didn't make the money back, and as we go along, we'll find out.
Alright. Budget was $31 million. It grossed $17
million. So it grossed...
Are we doing cumulative?
We can also look at the cumulative. So this one had a budget of $60 million, and it grossed $17 as well. $17,300. So it did $300,000 more opening weekend was $7,600,000.
Opening about the same, but in 2004, so probably more money.
Yeah. The cumulative worldwide gross is $62 million. So it made its money back for sure. And that one did much better.
So it made its money back.
Like, much better in the end.
Worst and best.
So best? What's your best, love? Best?
Okay. My best for Bettany is Gangster Number One. It's in 2000, a year before Night's Tale. And, oh my god, it's just, like, all-around great movie. David Thewlis is supporting. There's a lot of good British supporting actors in it. Malcolm McDowell, Andrew Lincoln, baby Andrew Lincoln's in it. Although I don't think he lasts long because people die in this. It's a pretty brutal movie about the British Mafia. But yeah, Gangster Number One. Are we doing spoilers?
Oh, you already spoiled the other one.
Yeah, I guess so. So anyway. Just watch it if you want to. If not, I'm about to do some spoilers. But Paul Bettany is, like, this young guy, and he's trying to get, like, into the crime lifestyle, and David Thewlis is a pretty big guy in it and everything. And he, like, gets the gig of his right-hand man and everything, and you can tell, like, he really, like, really wants to be this guy, like, more than anything. Like, that type of admiration and everything, and the dude's like brutal and awful, and so, you know, like, this can't go any good way, really, and it doesn't. Like, Paul Bettany just, like, murders people aggressively and, like, takes things way further than he needs to, because, like,
murder.
Yeah, because he's, like, on a different level than Thewlis's character.
He's just straight crazy.
Yeah, he's just crazy. So Freddie Thewlis's character gets shot, and his ass finally gets taken to jail and everything for what he did. He gets caught.
Take him away.
Yeah, and Paul Bettany has just, like, spent his whole life, like, trying to be what he thought, like, that this guy would be and would become, like, this complete brutal monster. But when he gets shot, and when he has to, like, serve his time, and after all that and stuff, all he wants to do is settle down and try to have a normal, quiet, boring, you know, life, because he's an old man, and, like, you know, just kind of feels lucky, like, that I didn't get worse than what I got, because, you know, what I did. But could've Paul Bettany's
blown
character,
back so harder,
even though he's, like, Malcolm McDowell's age, at the end of it, he still doesn't understand that. He's just still in this mentality of, no, like, big men fucking gamble and have women and still party and do it up. And it's like, no, that's not. It's one of those, like, brutal gangster movies, but also, like, an identity kind of, like, crisis thing, like a To Live and Die in L.A. type of thing. British. It's, like, really well shot, and I think everyone has good chemistry and puts, like, strong performances in it.
Yeah.
So that's my best for his, the movie and his performance.
For me, the one that sticks in my mind, because I haven't seen too many of his, but I did see The Reckoning. And in that one, he plays a priest.
Ooh.
Who has lain with a parishioner's wife, if I remember correctly. And he has to hide. So a traveling troupe agrees to take him with them. And he is put in amongst the group. And the group is told that he is another actor, but that he's just amongst them. Brian Cox's character does not want him around because he says he's a freeloader and they have enough. That they're, you know what I mean? Like, we're feeding enough people without this guy who doesn't do anything. Meanwhile, one of the ladies is like, wants Paul Bettany real bad because he let's see, how, I just saw like a thing with Ebert and how he put it was sensual guilt. Yeah. But yeah, Paul Bettany's working it. It's one of those, like William Dafoe's hanging out.
Oh my God, yes.
The cast is huge. The cast is huge. But like, Paul Bettany, like, that's the one I remember seeing and being like, what the hell am I watching? Like, this is actually, okay, this is going down. Like, this, people are acting. Like, that one, people are actually putting in some work. You know what I mean? But it's also supposed to be, like, back in the day.
Yeah, oh, I don't know, like, probably because I'm so partial to drama, but you tell me someone's playing a priest in the movie, and I'm probably there, because I know, like, devastation is likely to come and stuff, and I want to see it. I want to see The Reckoning. Like, for reals, that movie and Reckoning in movies.
I'll have to look it up. We'll have to get a hold of it. A copy. I'll rewatch. You'll finish your watch, and we'll talk about whether we, or what we feel about them now that we've seen them again.
Well, yeah, I mean, so, like, with the whole Paul Bettany thing, I was a fan of his and was watching his stuff, you know. Making my way
downtown. Bettany
through
now.
Stuff like I do, yeah, pretty much. Because, I mean, I was like, I looked through the stuff, and it's like, I was watching it, you know, while I was watching him and stuff, and then he married.
They got married. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Jennifer Connelly, and it just seemed like.
My baby's got a theory that Jennifer Connelly's sucking the talent right out of him.
Yeah.
I don't know what she's using it for, but she's sucking it right out of him.
I don't either, because she hasn't gotten any better, and that's what really upset me. Because I only saw she was, like, sucking it for herself. Then, like, since 2003, they've been married. So I recommend anything by Paul Bettany before. Although, I gotta say, we watched the first two episodes of WandaVision.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a big fan, really. We'll see what's to come. But I gotta say, like, Paul Bettany is, like, shining again. It was, like, his moment in them because... The first two episodes, well, the first episode, I would say, is completely comedy. And the second one is, like, half comedy, half drama. And Paul Bettany is the only one in the cast, except for the actress that plays Kitty in that 70s show, which I just felt bad, because, like, her face has been stretched into Alienville. So that was very jarring, but maybe that's part of the world, too. No one else can do comedy. So it was like Paul Bettany was having to carry the whole thing, but at the same time, like, it was nice to see him, like, I don't know, I felt he was, like, doing it again. Like, he was back on. Is their marriage shaky? Looking in the news.
Checking now.
Oh my God.
Is it over?
No. 4 days ago, Wanda's Vision, Paul Bettany says his marriage to Jennifer Connelly, quote, really altered who I was. Even he knows. I don't think he fully knows, but...
Understands. It's been sucked out of him is what it is. Ooh, a nice little box. So, moving into card talk. Talking about tarot. So, talking about little boxes you can hold your tarot cards in. There's a lot of ways to store your stuff, guys. I got a good ammo can that I like sometimes, because I can also use it as a table.
Yeah, we should share boxes, pictures. I've got a Pokemon Bulbasaur tin that I've got a deck in.
Yeah, that holds the Cartomancy deck. Looking at this pretty cool little Eye of Horus wooden box that someone put together. Looks pretty simple.
Yeah, it's pretty though, the wood.
Yeah, nice and simple. You can find them on Etsy. Loman Trading is what that one's from. Holds Crystals of a Tarot Deck. It's also a nice little piece. So little stuff like that, guys, man. Just check it out. If you got a little bit of extra cash on you, find you a nice little deck. A tarot mat. That's something that I've been looking at. Maybe getting some sort of tarot/card mat to begin with. Not just for, like, pretty much any time you need to use cards on a table that you don't want your cards touching that table so you don't get mystery gunk build up on your cards. You don't want that.
It's still out of stock. The Rat Tarot.
Aw. Yeah, I've been looking at the Rat Tarot. I would really like it. Because it's so nice and cute.
And it's super cute.
I have to find it maybe somewhere else. Maybe there's another seller that has the Rat Tarot. But that one I like the look of.
Yeah, me too. This is the first image when it's got the little skull on it said. Yeah. And the leaves.
Yeah. Thanks for listening, guys. We're going to be popping back and forth, talking about all kinds of stuff. We're going to be talking a little bit about WandaVision as we go, as we watch it along. Tuesday thinks it might be end up being one of those hate watch train wrecks that she enjoys.
Slash, I think I may be secretly in love with Paul Bettany again. So I follow it. Hopefully he'll be doing well.
Oh, yeah. Paul Bettany's putting in work. Everyone's putting in, I think, work. I think that the awkwardness of those first two episodes that people are feeling or wondering is because of the them attempting to put that overlay of 50s in their acting. You know what I mean? And so as I think the time periods change,
they're like,
going to feel more natural or more easily embraceable.
But I mean, I guess it was so jarring, too, because I didn't feel like Paul Bettany was putting that on. Like he was just in a comedy, and he was doing comedy work, and everyone else was like, we're in this thing, we're in this show,
but that forcedness.
Like, that makes or maybe it's supposed to make Vision seem even more human.
Yes.
And stuff like
in
that.
In comparison to everyone else,
especially
it's
when
like,
he's wearing the human face.
Seems to be worried about going to the cornfield or something. Like, everyone else has this very, like, weird, enslaved vibe they're giving off.
We'll see. It is something different. I'll give you that, Marvel. I'll
give you that, Marvel.
Let's eat.
Yeah. So, yeah, you can find us on Instagram at @tabloid_tarot. Twitter at @tabloidtarot. You can find us on Vero, Vero, the app. Whatnot, if you haven't checked that out. It's pretty interesting. You can do all kinds of stuff on that. And you'll find us there at Tabloid Tarot. Because no one's on Pharaoh.
Yet.
Maybe you will. But very few people are on it yet. And right now we're just kind of... I'm flooding it with memes. Random tarot memes that people don't understand. It's great. For me. I enjoy it. Other than that, you can find us on anchor.fm, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Bullhorn, anywhere you get your pods. We're pretty much getting streamed there thanks to anchor.fm. So if you do find us, rate, review, like, subscribe, yada, yada. All those things help us spread so that other people who enjoy hearing a married couple ramble and talk and give their opinion on movies, culture, and all the crazy news that's happening while getting you caught up on it and discussing tarot and soon to be doing a lot more heavy on the tarot. But we wanted to do a couple in case you missed it for the new year. So thanks for listening, guys. Till next time. I'm Ruben.
Tuesday.